Good afternoon. My name is Mark Tabladillo, and this session is Data Mining 2012 with Microsoft Excel 2010 and Power Pivot. Happy to be here today. I had a bout of sickness yesterday, but I rested up and made it up here. Then I grabbed a cookie outside, chewed into it, and my crown fell out. So, you know, it's been one of those days for me. I'm not in any pain, but I'm happy to be here and glad you're all here also. So our topic today is data mining. We have a contact slide. By the way, all these slides will be available later, and as with all the tech ed sessions, you'll be able to go back and see these on video. I expect them to be posted to Channel 9 on Microsoft website. I am on Twitter at marktab.net. I have a landing page on my website, marktab.net/teched2012. There you can find more information about me and my background. And I'm just going to jump right into our outline today. We're going to have fundamentals of data mining, then I'm going to do a demonstration and get into some resources. And by the way, just a random question. Not asking you to ask your question now, but in your mind, do you have a question right now about Microsoft data mining? Just raise your hand if you just have a question in your head. I'm not asking you to ask it now, but is there any question you have in your mind? Because I'm going to have a chance later on for you to ask those questions. Okay, so anyone have any questions? Okay, we'll get to that later. So first of all, definitions. I do like to talk about two phrases. One is data mining, and the second is machine learning. And they're less distinct when you ask what they are technically, and they're more distinct when you ask what they are for. And as I've talked to people in industry across different businesses and also people in academia, and of course you'll find on my bio that I'm actually teaching now at a university, data mining, the goal there is to inform actionable decisions. That's the goal of data mining. Goal of machine learning, as distinct from data mining, is to determine the best performing algorithm. And increasingly, you'll find machine learning is an incredibly important topic in computer science degrees. And almost universally now, computer science graduate schools, everyone will have to take a class in machine learning or algorithms and learn how to use this technology. And even to drive the point home further, I mean, who here owns a smartphone? Anyone here own a smartphone? Okay, who owns a tablet? Tablet. Okay, so I see a lot of tablet owners. I have a tablet here. This is Kindle Fire. And so behind all these tablets, behind all these smartphones, almost every app now has data mining and machine learning behind it. You might not have to program it, but you'll see it's in there. It's behind all the major services such as LinkedIn, Facebook, Bing. You'll see that behind all the major ideas, and even if you're going to write a game, if you're going to write a game for a smartphone, I would recommend think about how to use data mining to put that technology behind what you are doing, because it will make it that much better. And it's also distinguishing you from your other competition. So there's entrepreneurial edges here. There's also technology edge, and this is a thought I had this morning. If you're investing in a technology stock, it's not a question of whether that company is using data mining or machine learning. The question is how. And if you're an investor in a major company, I would ask that question. That's among the many questions that you do ask for a solid investment, but something that you need to consider is how are they using data mining? Okay, SQL Server data mining. Now, the first point I have here is that SQL Server data mining, it is a service, it is not an application. We're going to see it now through the application we know as Excel, but as you know, may know from some of the other open source alternatives or commercial alternatives that are on the market, there's a lot of alternatives out there that are applications. And you may know, or who is here has used a data mining application, any data mining application out there. So you know of some of those names that are out there. This technology is a service, and because it is a service, it can therefore scale to the enterprise level. We're going to see it now on the desktop, and we're going to be running examples on my laptop. But this is technology that can scale to the enterprise, that can scale through all the power that's behind SQL Server. It's embedded in the SQL Server Analysis Services, which is where it's housed. And there's multiple ways to interface that for users. One is through Excel, And one is now SQL Server Data Tools, which was formerly BIDS, SQL Server Management Studio, and PowerShell. I talk about different topics depending on the presentation, but almost universally now, when I visit a client or when I'm explaining this technology, I will start with Excel, even with people who have had advanced mathematics, because Excel is a good way to explain the technology. If you're explaining this technology to your company, I would also recommend that you use Excel as the interface. Today, we're going to be using SQL Server 2012. Now, let me ask you this. Is anyone doing SQL Server 2012 production now? Okay, very good. Leading edge. 08 production? 08? Okay, how about 05? 05? Okay, 2000. Yeah, all right. So there's 2000 still out there. Data mining came out with the 2000 in a very limited format, but if you are going to use it seriously, I would recommend definitely 08 or higher. So that's the technology there. Data mining add-in for Excel. Now, this was just updated for the 2012 SQL Server. It was built for Office 2010, and now there is a 32 and a 64-bit add-in. I am going to be using the 64-bit add-in for Office 64. Now, you do require to have the 64-bit OS to run that, but this just got updated. You are able to use that also with 2008 SQL Server, so you can use it with 2008 or 12, and then on the front end, Office 2010. And that add-in is free. That's a free add-in. Where Microsoft makes the money is on the services side. So you do have to have an instance of SQL Server. I'll talk at the end of how to get started, and you'll see specifically where to go. It does require analysis services. And the additions we want for data mining, you want to use enterprise or business intelligence or developer. Developer edition is a good way to get started. Is anyone here enrolled in school or have kids who are in school? Enrolled in school or have kids in school? I'm going to talk at the end about how to get Microsoft software free if you are in school or you teach or are taking class or your kids are in school. One thing I will show you here on the screen here, this little animation shows you indication of what is on that data mining add-in. And you can see a little bit of that. And go back again. I'm going to play it again and just pause here. So you see there's some tools here to explore clean data, and here's to do, so you can do some classifying and estimation, clustering, association analysis, forecasting. You can test accuracy, classification matrix, cross-validation, do some amount of model management, browsing, documenting, querying from Excel, manage your models from Excel, connecting. Again, all this is from Excel, by the way. So we're talking about things you can do from Excel. And we'll see some of that as we go forward. Power Pivot for Excel, it's got the features here. It works in Excel workbooks. It leverages memory and fast processing. How many people have used Power Pivot for Excel? Power Pivot for Excel. Okay, it's a remarkably popular feature in Excel. And as I talk to people in different organizations, they it's gotten a lot of wide adoption for a product that's very new. And I'm going to be using the latest add-in for Power Pivot for Excel, which came with 2012. It leverages memory and fast processing. It loads large data sets, and especially in the 64-bit Office. It does analytics through DAX, and it leverages multi-core processors. There's one thing I want you to do if you have not seen Power Pivot. Again, this will be in the slide deck. There's a website on the Microsoft website. It has some videos that you can go see about what Power Pivot does. And I would recommend you go see what those videos are about. There are two Power Pivots, as I talk about. One is for Excel, and one is for SharePoint. And the SharePoint that Microsoft's recommending is SharePoint Enterprise. So that's what you can go see later. All right, demonstration data set. I'm going to be using today the Contoso Retail demo data set. And I also have put a link in here for Windows Azure Marketplace. I've sometimes used that for data mining demos. I'm not going to use it today, but I'm going to reference that later on in this presentation. You can download data from the Windows Azure Marketplace right into Power Pivot. Now, because this is a level 200 presentation, we had this slide here for showing off the developer software code. So I'm going to show you all the code you need to know for this presentation. And there it is. Okay, this is level 200. Now, if you want more higher levels, you can go read my blog for see some code on there. All right, so let's jump into some of these demos. First demo we're going to talk about is inside the Analysis tab. Now, one thing that you do have to do when you're getting ready for data mining is I do have to show you my props here. These are my two props. And, of course, one here is a yellow hat, and then one here is, so this is the yellow hat, and then this here, does anyone know what this is? And I'm just going to kind of wave it up here. Does anyone know what that is? Not a pickaxe, or what was it? It's a hammer. What kind? I heard rock hammer. I did hear rock hammer. If you saw the movie Shawshank Redemption, there was a real tiny one in there, but this is, of course, a little larger. And the way you use this, use the blunt end to make a crack first, and then use the pointy end to make that crack wider. And so I think what I like about these props, and I'm not going to put the hat on. They asked us not to wear hats. So I'm not going to wear my hat. I'm just going to show you my hat. So here's my hat. You need to protect yourself, and also you can do damage. Okay, so there's an ethical moral lesson here with data mining. Now, some people are going to be seeing this video later. So I'm going to show this to our audience here. Now, I know some of you. So here's the hat. This is for the audience. This is for the video. So you get to see the hat, and then you get to see here the pickaxe. There, it's a pickaxe. Actually, it's not a pickaxe. It's a rock hammer. Right there. Okay. So we're going to go right into Excel. I have an Excel workbook open right now. I am going to talk about the Contoso data. And if you notice here, I'm going to go up here on the top part here. There's a Power Pivot tab. And this is once, of course, you've installed Power Pivot. And I'm going to click Power Pivot window, and it's going to open the Power Pivot window. Now, this first data set I'm going to read in live. The second data set I already have preloaded, and we'll talk about that later. But this first data set I'm going to load in live to give you an idea of how this goes. So I'm loading it from SQL Server, which is running locally on this machine. It's going to come from Contoso Retail. One thing I always like to do, and I recommend people do this, you always test your connection. Make sure your test connection succeeds. So you just always make sure that that's true when you're doing your data sets. Going to next. And I'm going to pick some items here from this list. The table I'm going to focus on, now this Contoso Retail, this is inside the relational demo for Contoso Retail. I'm going to start first with the tables called fact sales. So you see down here, there's several fact tables, and I'm going to pick this fact sales. So I'm going to go fact sales, and then right here at the bottom has a button here to select related tables. That's kind of a handy button, so when I press select related tables, what it will do is go through and figure out what tables are related to that fact table. In addition to those ones, I'm also going to pick product category, subcategory, I'm going to pick geography, and sales territory. Okay, and then that's it. And we're ready to go. So I'm going to press finish. And now it's going to start loading the tables. And some of these tables are going to have only a few rows. The fact sales table is going to have more than a few rows. Anyone guess how many records are in there? Go guess. 2 million is close. But it's already at 1.4, 1.6, 1.9, 2.1, 2.3. Now, remember, I'm doing this from Excel, right? Excel, which only goes to a million something rows. Okay, so here it is. And it's just about reaching its limit right there. And it's going to read in. And this is the number here, 3.4 million rows. That's one of the advantages here to using Power Pivot is you can read in large data volumes. Now, it only reads to a certain amount. I was informed by some of the technical team that it functionally will read only about 2 gigabytes total file size. And so it does matter how wide the tables are. So it does. I can't promise you how many rows you could read in possibly, because it does depend on width, and it also depends what else is in here. So as you see down here on the bottom, this one, this small table, this is just a small lookup table here. It only has 4 records right there. On the bottom, it shows you how many records. And then if I go to the fax sales table, then you can see down here 3.4 million. So 3.4 million there on the Power Pivot window. Once it's in there, I can go back to the main screen and I can save it. I'm going to go ahead and save. I guess I'm going to go ahead and save this one. And I'm going to save it over the one that I had made before. And the total size of this file, just as it is right now, even without adding anything in there, is around 88 megabytes, something like that. Runs all in memory. So what will happen is the tables themselves, they'll be in the Power Pivot window, and then I'll be able to manipulate the data from Excel, which is what I'm going to do in the second, do the data mining. The data mining that I'm going to do as far as the actual problems, they're going to have to do with aggregations. And right now it's already finished saving. So I'm going to go here under Pivot Table, and I'm going to select Flattened Pivot Table. So this is what you want to do. If you want to do data mining, make sure you do the flattened pivot table, flattened. I'm going to do the existing worksheet. And this first example, I'm going to do the type of data mining that I think is the most common that you will find that you to do as far as a task, and that is the forecasting. So I'm going to go here to date, select the calendar month as the row labels. Now, if you notice here on the calendar month here, it starts at 05 on the labels, and the labels here go to like 11. That's just a date dimension by itself. But then when I add the actual sales amount on the right, that's the sales amount. Now what it just did when I dragged that on there, it just did calculations for those 3.4 million records, right, by month. It just did it right now. All right, so I did the sum of sales amount. Now I'm going to do a few other things. I decided I'm beef up this example. I'm also going to do the average. Okay, so these are the averages of sales by month. And then I'm going to do a third one. I'm going to do the count. All right, so I have 3 columns. I have month here, I have the sum, I have the average, and I have the count. Now if you multiply the count times the average, what do you get? The sum. Okay, so some of you know that. You get the sum. If you multiply the count by the average, you get the sum. But I'm going to use data mining to do something different. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to copy this information. Now, I'm going to have to copy it and put it into a new pane that's not linked to that pivot table to be able to do the data mining. So this is what you just have to do mechanically, is to de-link it, put it into a new table, format that as a table. All right, now it's in a new place. I just copied it onto the second tab. I have now the calendar month, the sum, the average, and the count. Now, if I graph those, you could see what they were going forward. But I'm going to do a forecast. I'm going to forecast all 3 series going forward just using the forecast button. And by the way, before I do that, I'm going to show you where I am. What happens is when I'm on a table, when I'm on data that's formatted as a table, you'll get this Analyze tab that comes up. There's a data mining tab you see on the left, and then the Analyze tab on the right. The Analyze tab only comes up if you're on data that's formatted as a table, which is what Microsoft wants you to do. In fact, this is the number one way they want you to be doing your data mining is through this Analyze button. There's other functions we'll see in the data mining tab, and that's demo number, what I'm calling demo 2. But we want to do the Analyze tab right now. And then let me just give you a preview of what's on this Analyze tab. So you can see Analyze Key Influencers, Detect Categories, Fill from Example. I'm about to do Forecasting, Highlight Exceptions, Scenario Analysis, Prediction Calculator, and then there's other buttons. Right now you can also see that I am connected to Contoso Retail You do have to have a connection to analysis services to be able to do data mining, and I am connected right now, so that will be fine. In fact, I'm going to change this. I'm going to make it to DM add-ins. Okay. Did it change it? No, let's make current. Okay. All right, so I'm going to do a forecast. Now, forecast window will open. As you notice on the top upper right here, it's SQL Server 12 that we're using, and it's going to ask you the column selections. I'm predicting the sum, the average, and the count going forward. By default, it's coming up to number of time units of forecast 5. And it's going to ask me for the timestamp, and I'm going to pick calendar month. You don't have to pick a timestamp, but what is true is each of those periods have to be equally spaced. In other words, you have to have equal space between the periods on the left side. So, and then it'll do periodicity of data. If you know it's monthly or quarterly or yearly data, it'll look for periodic trends in the data. If you do a retail example, you might have a periodic trend of every quarter or once every year, every 12 months. I might press run. So right now it's doing the analysis. Now that was live. Now I'm showing you this here. This is the output graph. And one thing I noticed about when I did this on my own is how come there's only one line? And there's only one line because there's some sort of scaling error here. What happened is because if you notice, and I don't care that this showed up as an error because this is intentional. So again, you're supposed to see three lines, but it only showed one line. And it only showed one line because the scale of these three numbers is different. One of these numbers is like in the millions, and this one's like in the thousands, and then this is like in the hundred thousands. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to the data mining tab, and I'm going to browse. I'm going to browse that model. This is the model I just made here. And it'll show you the information there. And so here's the actual numbers. So those are the numbers that were predicted. And again, it messed up the scale on the left. Well, it shows 100%. And I think it was just showing 100% for the highest number, you know, that was in there or projected. And then on the right side here, it shows the dotted lines. These dotted lines represent the projection. If you notice projection here, they go up and down, projections. And then here on those projections for the sum, notice how they go up a little bit here, and then those numbers on the bottom, they go up and down. Now, if I click show deviations, it'll give some confidence bars on the numbers. And again, these are numbers that you could obtain. If you wanted these numbers, you can get them because they're in the data, they're in the database. It'll give you an idea of the confidence limits here. And so those are the different numbers, but not only that, not only do they show on there, but they do show on the original data. If I go back to the original data, this is the data that I had at the beginning. It ended in 2009-12, but then here are the five numbers below it that it predicted into the future. All right, now, remember I said, what is average times the count? Average times the count is a sum, right? So let's try that. Average times count. Now, I'm about to give you an advanced analyst something to think about. Okay, so this is the count times the average. This is the average times count. Okay. And I multiplied them all the way down, including the predicted numbers. And if you notice on the predictions, okay, so here's the first number. This is 319 million, right? Okay, so the first number on the predicted, if you just went off the total sum, it was predicting 336,337, 337, 342, 351. But if I predicted the count and the average separately, then I multiplied them together, it'll give different numbers. And if you ask me which one would I trust, I would trust the first column. And the reason is because This second column here is a result of two separate predictions multiplied together. So given the choice between multiplying two separate predictions and taking the one single prediction, I would always pick the single prediction. So there's a little bit, that's a little bit of advanced thinking there. How many of you have taken a class in linear algebra? Okay, so some people have. What I just did right there, and even making that column average times count is an example of thinking in terms of linear algebra, because I'm taking one column times the second column and coming up with a third column. You may not have been told that before, and maybe you didn't realize if you're using Excel heavily, you're probably already using linear algebra. You already think that way without even having taken the class. And one thing I always like to emphasize in using these tools, you may not need to know all the math that's behind it, but you still might feel very comfortable with using the math or being able to do calculations on your own. So that's the forecasting. That, to me, is the number one thing, number one tool you would want to use in terms of doing data mining. Okay, let me check. This one is done. Okay, so I'm going to switch to the other example. Okay, on this one here, I have the customer table, which has got 18,000, geography table, 674. Fact Online Sales has got 12 million records in it. So this one's got 12 million records. I decided to just let that one load here while we were looking at the other example. What I'm going to do on this one is, again, I'm going to go to Power Pivot, Pivot Table, Flatten Pivot Table, Existing Worksheet. Okay, hopefully the resolution will be okay here. And you may have seen, has anyone seen the AdventureWorks demo for data mining? AdventureWorks demo? No? Yes? Okay, so a few people have. There's an AdventureWorks demo out there, and what they predict is bike buyer. And let's see, how did that get down there? Oh, because my mouse is down there. So I'm going to start again. I'm going to go here, make sure I'm on the upper left corner. Existing worksheet. Okay. What I'm going to do on this one, okay, let me pick some variables out here. Okay, I'm going to pick marital status. I'm going to pick gender. House owner. Occupation. Region, country, name. This is like region of the country, or it's where country where you're from. Education. Okay, children at home. Number of children at home. Okay, total children. And number of cars. It says number of cars owned. Number of cars owned. My notes say number of cars. It's number of cars owned on the screen. Now, on the screen here, it did do some intermediate calculations, so I'm going to have to turn those off to really flatten it out for data mining. So let me do that in a second here. Once it refreshes itself. Okay, so go to design. Here's subtotals. Right here, do not show subtotals. So right here on subtotals, I'm doing do not show subtotals. Do not show subtotals. And then I'll update that list once it goes through there. Okay, so on the AdventureWorks demo, they were predicting bike buyer. And what I'm going to do on this example is I'm going to predict marriage. Let's see if I can go, whoa. Come back up. I'll just grab the whole thing. Copy. Paste. Okay, I'm going to get rid of some of these rows here at the beginning. There are some extra rows in here, and I'll tell you what they were for. On the customer dimension, this is inside Contoso Retail. On the customer dimension, and this is in the demo data, they put both individuals and companies in the same dimension. All right, now I'm going to give you a choice. Now, this is a show of hands choice. How many of you would make a dimension with both individuals and companies in there? Yes or no? Yes. Yes? Okay. How many of you definitely would always separate them? Always. Okay. How many of you would say it depends? Okay, so a couple of it depends. All right, so it does depend. Sometimes you might want to have both companies and individuals in the same dimension. Me, I would lean toward separating them from one another, but that's what some of those extra rows were, was companies that didn't have any information stated. Okay, so here's the table information. Whoops, undo that because it didn't pick up the headers. Okay. Well, let's see. Wait a minute here. Some of these don't have a name, and that's okay. We'll just go ahead and do it on that. Now I'm going to use prediction calculator. I'm going to target marital status. I'm going to put married and choose the columns going to be used for that. I'm going to use all the columns except for marital status as the input variables and press run. This will be a prediction calculator. Okay, this is not turned on. Sorry. Sorry about that. Which we're going to have to go ahead and go forward and fix this because the data is right here right now. There's a server configuration utility. Hopefully I didn't get it right. Okay. Server configuration utility that comes with the data mining, and what it does is it makes everything as it needs to be to do the data mining. So that's what we'll do right at the beginning. And this is a good tool because you don't have to open Management Studio to get started. You can just set all those permissions from that add-in, and that's what it was asking for. So, test connection, and we succeeded. All right, let's make sure that that's okay. So, we'll go back again to marital status, male or married. Go there, print and render calculator. Okay, so there it goes. Prediction calculator is something similar that you would see maybe in doing a credit score. And what it comes out with, and this is just from the automated wizard here from Excel, it comes out with a calculator. If I went to the right here, this is the one that's printable here. And the idea here is to score points. What will happen is, in this case, using all the variables that I picked, if you have at least 380 on your score, then you are probably married. Now, this does not predict whether you will be married. This predicts whether you are married. If you understand what I'm saying is the difference. The use of something, some tool like this, if you had a database already existing, and maybe you had demographic variables, and you were curious if people had filled that out correctly, or sometimes they didn't fill it out at all, and you would want to put a predicted value of whether you or not you thought they were married. Now, you might not want to overwrite the one that you know, the column that you know for sure that they said they were married. So you might want to make a second column and just have information of what you predict their marital status was, whether or not they told the truth, maybe, on their form. I don't know. Sometimes people don't give correct information. It might be somewhat incomplete. But this technology, you know, could be used to predict whether or not somebody probably is married. Now, if you notice here, just on this bottom here, if you are female, then you get 8 points toward being married, just based on the data that I use. This is not based on your friends from Facebook or your friends from LinkedIn or people you know. This is just based on the data that's in this Contoso Retail. All right, so and then you get different points. And then you notice here from different countries. Anyone here from Denmark? No. Okay, so we got different countries in there. Greece, India, Iran. And what you could do is you could just print out this calculator, but I'm going to do a different one. I'm just going to go up here, and I'm going to use this one, which is just totally filled in. So I need someone just to volunteer, and I'm going to have you, whoever volunteer, I'm going to just going to have you give me values from the screen. So who wants to volunteer? Okay, go ahead. So total children, how many? 0 to 5. 2? Okay. Number of cars owned? Two. Okay. Region, country? Number of children home? One. Okay. Education? Bachelor's? House owner flag? Yes, which is one. Occupation? Sorry? Management? Sorry. Okay. And then gender? Is what?
Male.
Okay. All right, so that's 508, and that person, based on this data, okay, is probably married, because you had to get to 380 to get to that number. The interesting thing about this combination, now, I have often said this, and I blogged about this topic. Now, if you are developing tools, because I've seen several commercial vendors touting their drill-down tools as data mining. They say that their drill-down tool is data mining. Now, I am not the data mining police, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why data mining is more than just drill-down. The combination we just picked right there might not exist in the underlying data. And, in fact, I could probably find a combination here that's not in the underlying data. So that we're looking at something that's fantasy land in terms of the underlying data, and still we can come up with a predictive model to let us test combinations based on what we know from the data that we do have. And that is exactly why data mining is not drill down. Okay, it's more than drill down. And even when you go back to the forecasting example, where can you drill down into your data and see the future? All right, I'm just saying. So data mining can give you indications of values that are not in your database. That's one of the advantages. And so we can see that advantage right here. I can come up with combinations, or even if you had a new combination, so long as they had those values, you know, you can have a value that will come out in the end. And here's another thing. Because of the way analysis services works, there's always a null value calculated for each of those combinations. So even if you were to have someone that comes in, let's say, with a country that's not inside your database, it will still get scored with a value. Okay? That's an advantage. It's an advantage because you would say, well, I don't want to introduce some new query or throw some new data at this, you know, and that combination's not in there. Well, it doesn't matter because it'll give it the null or the default value for that score. So that's how that works. That's a little bit also how analysis services works, and I also made my data mining is not drill down point. On the bottom here, you can see some of the scores, the relative impact. These are just numbers, you know, relative to one another of different countries and information there that you can get on that. Let's see, go back to the first report. And then there's more information. I would suggest that you try it yourself. Go through the information. You'll see here on the upper right, I'm going to show you something specifically. There's a help button on the data mining tab. And when you type that help button, you go into contents, it'll give you a complete description of what's on each of these tabs and how to understand them. So you'll see, you'll be able to read through, and you can get good information on how these different tabs go. We're not going to obviously cover all that today. I'm just going to cover certain portions of it. And if you have any questions, definitely you can ask them toward the end here. All right, so that's the first thing I want to do. Let's go back to the slide deck. All right, and I don't know where I put my clicker. Oh, here it is. All right, so that's the analysis tab. Now, I'm going to show a little bit now the data mining tab. This is what I call my demo 2, data mining tab. I'm going to go back to computer 3. All right, so this is, again, the first model I had done. If I go, now first of all, let me show you some of the things that are on this tab, just as we go forward. One of the things you can do is explore data, clean data, and you can sample data. So I'm going to, let me do some of that. So let me take the sum of the sales amount. If I click explore, I'm going to look at the sum of those sales amounts. These are sales amounts from different months. If you notice what it did, it broke it down right now into 8 buckets as a default. I can go down to lower numbers or go to higher numbers. And one thing I could do, there's certain types of data you might want to do this. You might want to take those ranges right here. Now, right now, it's making these automatic ranges. If you notice on the bottom here, these are like 266 million to 286 and whatever they are. They're trying to make these buckets around equal size. If I press Add New Column, it's going to add a new column to this data set with those buckets already described. And that's the type of thing you might want to do if you don't, if you're not specifically interested in the exact number, but you're just more interested in the ranges, you could do that. And that's one thing. I'll just press Add New Column. You can see that right now. So what it did is it added that new column here as a range. And then that range I could use as an input to some new data set. Okay, one thing it also can do is it can look for outliers. Again, looking at that sum of sales column, if I look at the values that are on this data, I may have an idea of what I want to be the minimum or the maximum. And when I do the slider here, I'm going to slide this down a little bit, and I'm going to slide that one up a little bit, and I'm going to zoom in on that. So you can see here, I slid in and I slid out. What I can do is just remove those ranges right here. I could either see what I can do. I could change the value to the limit, so I could set those values to be whatever that limit is, that lower or that upper limit. I could change the value to the mean. Okay, so I could take those outliers and reset them to the mean. I can change the value to null or empty data or delete rows. And any of those things I can do, so let's say change value to the limit. I can either add a new column, copy the sheet data to a new worksheet, or change the data in place. So I don't have to override it. I could just do it to a new sheet. So these are some handy things to do as far as data cleaning. I'm not going to follow the rest of the path there. One thing that was improved in the 2008 data mining for Microsoft is the ability to automatically determine samples. And that is an automated process. Now, if you're using 2005 SQL Server or before, you're going to have to make your own training and test set. And now it does it automatically, so the sample data is not something that's important to use. And then any of the models I can run from here, from this data mining tab, and including adding models to what I've already made. I want to show you something here on this screen. Let me zoom in on that. All right, right now it's showing on the screen, it says select model. This is a model, and it's nested underneath what's called a structure. A structure can have many models inside of it. Now, does anyone want to guess how many models can you put into one structure in SQL Server data mining? Guess. 256 is a great guess. It's a great number, but it's too low. 32 is 768 is a great number also, but also too low. Say again. 1024 is too low. All right, so the answer is 2 to the 31 minus 1. Now, you're probably not going to do that with Excel, but you could possibly do it with integration services. And pragmatically, someone from Microsoft told me that the real limit's somewhere around 64,000, so there might be a practical limit on that. The point being, the technology is enterprise ready. All right, now I just made one model there underneath one structure. But what I'm saying is we could put more models in here. What are some of the types of models you'd want to do? I did a forecasting example. I used data from probably 4 years. You might look at that same data and you say, you know what? 3 years ago, something changed. And it's really unfair to go 4 years back to try to predict numbers in the future. So you might only want to do one model that only goes back for 3 years. Or maybe you want to do a subset, you know, only 2 years back. Or compare what 2 years back looks compared to 4 years back. So you might want to do multiple models. That type of filtering is an example of what you would want to do in terms of coming up with these multiple models. So that's what I want to say about that. And then, so browsing, I can still browse that time series model like I showed you before. And you can show the deviations on here. One thing that's neat on here, on the bottom here, there's a copy to Excel button. Right? And then there's also just a general copy of the chart to a clipboard. So I could copy that chart to the clipboard, and then I could paste it into PowerPoint, could paste it into Microsoft Word or some other program or application. So I can just copy that graph. And then you don't even have to use all these predictions. I could just use one, right? So here's just the sum of sales amount here on the right. I could just do different things. I didn't choose anything, so it didn't show anything. So this is the count predicted into the future. And so that's an example of what you can do with browse. The browsing viewers will be different depending on the type of model that's in there. I'm going to show another model. I'm going to make that one current. This is a Contosa Retail. Test the connection, okay. Browsing into Contosa Retail, this one has four models already in there. One of them is a decision tree. This model was already done, and it's on the server. So from Excel, I can browse a model that was already done and put on the server. Okay, this is a decision tree someone had previously done. And what I say that's different from decision trees compared to regular regression. If you notice if you do regular regression, you always get the same first variable, the same second variable, same third. And if you notice on this decision tree, here we came down to yearly income, and depending on what branch you went down, sometimes the next important variable was yearly income, and sometimes it was age. That's what makes decision trees different from regression. And I like that example because, you know, I had a lot of regression examples when I was in school, and still very important technique, but decision trees is taking that concept to the next level. So again, you can browse anything that someone had done before. I'm going to browse clustering, but let me ask you something. How many of you have told a child, clean your room? Raise your hand. Thank you. Okay, so if you've done that to your child, what you're asking them to do is cluster. And guess what? They don't have to learn linear algebra or calculus to be able to do that, even though inside the clustering algorithm, there's linear algebra and calculus. What I'd like to emphasize is clustering is something that somehow, and if you're an advanced social scientist, you can explain it to me because I don't get it. I'm just an observer. Somehow we can understand what it means to cluster as people without having to use a whole bunch of mathematics. So here's a clustering example. It was already done. It's on the server. I'm able to browse it through the data mining tab. And when I slide this slider, what it will show is which links are stronger and weaker. So as I slide it down here, it'll show some of the stronger links remain among these clusters that are in this problem. And I'm just browsing from Excel. I can see what was inside these clusters. I can see distributions of age, consumption, education, gender, information that's already there. I want to say something about the numbers here. You see the numbers here that are inside the clustering? Sometimes people ask me the question, how small of an example do you want to go for these groups? The absolute lowest number that I'm recommending to use is 5. Don't do data mining with less than 5 per combination. And ideally, you'd like to have 100. And that's just a heuristic. There's no mathematical proof that I'm giving for that. You notice that some of these clusters have numbers that are in that range, far above 100. So then they're really strong. Okay, so I could browse models that are already done. I can document them, query them, manage those models, trace. If I pick trace, one thing that for people who are interested in code is that the code's in there. And because this is level 200, I'm not going to zoom in on the code. You're going to have to go look at that yourself later. Okay, but you can see that in the trace button. So definitely take a look at that. I'm going to go back to the other computer. And I'm going to run a new problem here. Power pivot. Now I'm going to do pivot table, flatten pivot table, existing worksheet. Okay. And I'm going to use, now this Fact Online sales table, this had something like, how many observations? I don't remember. 12 million observations. Do sales amount as a predicted value. And that'll be, if I just drag it down there, it'll do the sum. Okay, so this case, I have 2.7 billion in sales over the time period, which is several years worth of data for this example. And I'm going to pick on the left side marital status, and I'm going to pick gender, and pick occupation, and I'm going to pick house owner flag. And I'm going to also drag sales amount again, and this time I'm going to put the number of observations, because remember I just said the 5 and the 100. So don't want to do less than 5. So I'm going to summarize by, so you can see what I'm hearing on the, I guess it won't show it while I'm in that menu. But I'm going to touch it, and then I'm going to do summarize by. Summarize by, and it will allow me to do count as separate from sum. So there will be a sum of sales, and then there will be a count. So it will be the count of how many observations are in that total number. Even though I'm just scanning this up and down, I'm noticing a lot of these numbers, I don't see anything less than 40,000. All right, so there's a large number right now just at this level. So I'm going to continue to go. So I'm going to add a few more. I'm going to add number of cars owned as a predictor. So I'm not going to do it as a value, but as a predictor. And then I also will use region, country, name. Okay, see if I got any small ones yet. 895, nope, still not small enough. Okay, and then did I do education? No, we do education. Okay, should that do it? We'll see if that'll do it. There's some 92s in there. It's starting to get small. Total children, that should do it. Okay, and then I also have to turn off the subtotals. And again, of course, some of these are companies, they're not individuals. All right, let me just see how we are right now. Let's copy that, go to the end, on the table, put into a new tab, paste the values, and format this. Well, first of all, take all these extra rows that represent organizations, delete, format as table. And just going down off this count, if I touch the drop-down box, it'll show me the lowest count I have here is 73. So actually, that's not bad. 100's a better number, but definitely 5 is just way too small. All right, so just based on that, I'm going to do highlight exceptions for this one. And I'm going to look I'm not going to look at the count right now. I'm just going to leave that off. I'm going to look at the sum of sales amount and then all the rest of them. Okay. Now, let me think about that. I'm going to do the count instead of the sum because I would want to do the average. In fact, maybe I should just do the average. No, I'll just do count. I'll just do count, just like I said. Count is good. So run that on count. And I ignored sum of sales amount. So what this will show, now this is the number, this is the count per combination of rows. What this will show is on the screen unusual values. And if you see here, just focusing on this one, the way to interpret it, and you can see it on the screen, it shows pretty well here. The region, country, name, Canada is highlighted on that row, and what it's saying is that given the other information, all right, it's unusual that that combination is Canada. That's the way to read this. So it's looking for exceptions, and if I go down here, this row here, it's saying it's unusual that this number is zero given the other information on this row, And again, it's ignoring the sum of sales. On this page, it'll show you, this is the goal of the highlight exceptions, to look for outliers. And in the total example, it found 23 outliers on the total children. It found 20 on the education, 53 on the region, 4 on the house owner, 37 on the number of cars, none on marital status, 14 occupation, and 50 on counter sales amount. But not only that, I can use this little toggle box to go for more or less exceptions. So if I start changing this, if I start going down, it'll start showing more exceptions. And as it shows more, those 375 show on the original Excel sheet as I'm going up and down on this toggle exceptions box. Question I have is, what algorithm did it use to calculate those exceptions? And if I go to the trace, I can find the answer for that question. It'll show it on the trace here. Let's see. Let's go up to here. This is the total children, parameter table. It's cluster. Oh, wait. Go down. Parameter table. Select all these. And, oh, I guess it didn't show in here. Parameter table. All right, now I'm not seeing it right now, but it is logistic regression. That's the answer. Sorry about that. Okay, so that's what this does for as far as the highlight exceptions. And that's one way to look at the different variables there. I think what I'm going to do is go ahead and go on with the other slides and give you also some time for questions. So if you have a question right now, go ahead and start lining up at the microphones as I go through the end of these slides. All right, one thing I will show here is the resources available. And this is how to get started. These links here are the Excel Data Mining add-in, which you can get for free. And also you can do the Power Pivot information for free. That's a free add-in for Microsoft Excel. Windows 7, SQL Server 2012 is the version we are using today, and then Microsoft Office. Those are the links of how to get started on those sheets. And again, if you have students, I told you about the free stuff for students. Here it is. It's dreamspark.com, and that's information there on how to get the different Visual Studio tools, plus also you could get a copy of SQL Server and also the operating systems and a Connect page. So I'm going to go ahead and go to our question right here. Go ahead.
Why did you flatten the pivot table? What was that doing for you? You quickly brought up an interface and you flattened the pivot table. What was that?
Flatten the pivot table?
Yeah.
When I made the pivot table, so the question was, why did I flatten the pivot table?
Yes.
Okay. Normally, when you do bring up the pivot table, it gives you a viewer that has a lot of intermediate subtotals that are inside the display interface, and those are just additional reporting rows. But for the purposes of data mining, you want to start with a flattened pivot table just so that we'll have one row per combination. So that was the purpose of doing the flattening for the pivot table. Yeah. Okay, does anyone else have a question on that? Go ahead.
So can you do a champion challenger approach with the data mining add-ins for Excel, where you train several models and then find the best one?
Yes. So the question was, can you do a champion and challenger testing where you can... Now, you're talking about testing models against each other? So the answer, there's two ways you can do testing. One is models against each other, and then one is models against different data sets. And that would be achieved, and I'll show you where it is on the screen. One way to do it is from this accuracy chart. You can do that. Let me see which ones I put in here. Not that one. Let me go the other one. Two. Okay, so I did one here that had logistic regression. This is the one that I was talking about earlier. So one was clustering, and this is where it actually shows that one I just did was logistic regression with the highlight exceptions. And what you can do is from the accuracy chart, that's where it can go in and do a comparison, and it'll provide a lift chart, and it'll show you the models compared against one another. Great. One way to do it would just be to compare it against the... What I can do is, let me see if I can just run this against the model I just made.
Okay.
I think it was sheet 8, table 7. Let's see. Well, let's just finish that there. Let's see here. Okay, so this is an example of a lift type chart that can come from the data mining. Of course, this is using that first line. Minus, minus, minus. Whoop, that's too far minus. Okay. So it shows a lift chart here, and it can show, okay, again, what's the number? How many models can be done in one structure? 2 to 31 minus 1.
Right.
So it would show on the graph lift charts for any of those models run against new data where you did have comparison. So it could be run against new data, so those are the different types of ways it could do it, plus also simultaneously on the same graph, it will have all the models that were inside that structure. And again, inside one structure, it doesn't have to be all the same type of algorithm. You could have a logistic regression against naive Bayes, against decision trees, against something else. So those could be all compared on the same graph and also with different filtering characteristics.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Anyone else have a question? And then also, let me just say a little bit more about this. Okay, so wrong computer. Cross-validation is something it can do, and it will generally make some different sample tests and then run the same model against the data. So that's just a way of testing the model more rigorously against the same data set. Any more questions? Anything about data mining in general or technology? How you would use it? Okay. Go ahead.
How do you decide what variable to put into the model?
How do you decide what variable to put in the model is a great question. And there are two approaches. One approach, the approach I was using today, was just take all the variables, and there would be maybe one output, or in the case of clustering, there's no output. There's just a whole bunch of variables that you put together. And based on that analysis, you look at the results, and you see which ones are most strongly related together. One thing you can do is when you start with a lot, then you can do a second model and start dropping variables one at a time out of the larger set. So with a full set, you could start dropping variables one at a time out of that full model. And those would be new models that you run. And then you look at the new models, and you see, you have to look at and judge it, and you say, well, does this new model give me better information than what I got from the first one? That's one way to do it. The second approach is start from the bottom up. So you would just, in the smaller case, you just start with only a few variables and then start building up the model just based with a few that are related together. There's basically two different ways to approach it. Another thing, too, to consider is filtering, because like I was saying earlier on the absolute minimum sizes, some of the sizes that I saw on some of these graphs, like 1,000 were in each combination. Well, that's pretty big, and that means you could do more detailed analysis than just 1,000. You could go to small numbers, again, no less than 5, targeted easily around 100. And so in those cases, you would want to apply maybe some sort of filter. Remember, one of the examples I was doing here with the marriage prediction, maybe I want to do a different model for every country. because conceptually that might be easier to sell. If I say, right, I'm going to do a model for Italy, and then I'm going to do a model for Argentina, and then United States, then that might be easier to explain. So those are some of the ways to approach that. Okay, go ahead.
Can you recommend a resource, a good resource, to help us on the business side of how we can get better at using the right models for the right type of predictions, for the right business answers and the right questions that we might be asked?
Thanks. And thanks for that question. And it leads into what I was going to show on this page. Too bad for the people who left early, because they're going to miss it. If you go to my TechEd 2012 landing page, okay, this is a recommended books. This is an actual picture I took from the resource center downstairs. They asked us, are there any books that you recommend that you want us to put into the store? And there's two books that I asked for, and I got both of them. So I was very happy. And this is where you will find them. When you go into the bookstore, you want to find the books that are next to all those kids' clothing. Okay, so that's how you identify it. When you're by the kids' clothing, you know you're in the right area. You see these red arrows? These are where you find those three books. The two books there I have I recommended, and I'm going to tell you what they are right now. The first one is called Data Mining for Business Intelligence. This was written for management majors, and I interviewed the author, lead author, for this book on my blog, and what she told me was that this book now is in second edition. It's priced like a textbook, so it's a little more expensive, but I will tell you it is excellent for business-minded people. It's not a written from a technology perspective, and it does cover all the algorithms that are in the SQL Server data mining. The second book I recommend, which they did also stock, is Data Mining with SQL Server 2008. The reason this is still a good book is because fundamentally the information in the technology has not changed from 2008 till now. One thing that is new for the 2012 is that there is semantic mining in 2012. And semantic mining is text mining. It's a separate topic that I talk about in another presentation. But other than that, everything else is in this book, Data Mining with SQL Server 2008. You can find it now in the bookstore. One I happened to see on the shelf was Machine Learning in Action by Peter Harrington. And that's just happened to be there. So someone had asked for that one. So those are three resources I can definitely recommend, and especially this one. Yes.
An architectural question, and just in the context of the Excel add-in, what was the reasoning behind depending upon a real SQL Server 2012 in the back end as opposed to implementing it in the same way as they did Power Pivot, i.e. using a local SSAS component?
Right. Okay, so architecturally, what happens? Okay, well, first of all, Power Pivot is different in the sense that the technology behind it was named VertiPack, or that was the original name for Power Pivot. Was just a compression technology that did simple calculations. There was never a technology made for Excel that has the full calculation ability of multi-dimensional analysis services. Now, if you know right now in the 2012, there's two modes for analysis services. One is multi-dimensional and the other one is tabular. The tabular one is more reflective of what Power Pivot does. The multidimensional one is more of classical OLAP or cube building inside analysis services. And it is where data mining is housed. The reason data mining is in there is because it's not a completely flattened structure to do data mining. Every time I did today a data mining demo, I was building a cube that did return results. So there was cube building going on for every one of these round-trip activities. It is a fair question to ask whether Microsoft might want to do that in the future. One thing I do know, though, is by again, positioning the product as a service on the service side, then you get all the load balancing and also the authentication and security advantages of analysis services, being able to scale up and then also go to the cloud, which is also what Microsoft would want people to do, is go to the cloud. True, unless you install SQL Server locally, which is what I did here. And also for power users, I would recommend they make their own local installation so they also don't deal with network issues. Okay.
Do you know if the Power Pivot tested against some other software to check accuracy?
check the accuracy. So the question was, do I know if the, can you repeat it again?
If I were to use another software to do the analysis, would I get a different result? I mean, I want to know how accurate the power pivot is.
How accurate power pivot is. Okay, so in today's examples, power pivot was only being used to do summaries and calculations like averages and means. But if you're asking about the accuracy and the data mining, right? Okay, so there are different philosophies on how to measure accuracy. And I'm going to give you a short answer that's probably not going to satisfy you, but as I have learned more about this technology, what I encourage people to do is to understand what the future is of p-value, period. Now, some scientists are asking this question as a philosophical question, what is the future of p-values? I had to use that for my own dissertation, again, because today's a level 200 presentation. I don't want to get too complicated, but I will say the basic way to understand accuracy is what ingredients are you using for the data mining? When I did the marriage prediction, it came from that data that I was putting in there. And the analogy I like to use, the analogy of a recipe, you could have a recipe done by a world-famous chef, and if you use ingredients that are not fresh, you can taste it, right? You can taste something's wrong here. The milk is spoiled or the butter's old or something. The ingredients have as much to do with accuracy, this accuracy question, as anything else. And it's not just a matter of having large sample sizes, right? You can have large sample sizes, but where did this sample come from? From the business perspective, now this again, putting on our business hats, accuracy has to do with relevance. You know, just because you have a large sample size might make the statistician happy, but the business person is going to want to know, where did this data come from that's telling me the future is going to look like this? So that's a short answer, and I'd be happy to talk to you afterward if you want more on that. And if you have any other questions, feel free to come up to me afterward. I will have to go to the remaining slides here as we wrap up. So definitely encourage you to see that landing page, marktab.net. You can find out more about the information there. So here's my conclusion for today. SQL Server Analysis Services provides enterprise-level data mining to Excel 2010. The Analyze and Data Mining tabs have user-friendly functions for data mining. And then the landing webpage that I gave you has many places to continue this journey. And I did recommend three books. I recommend, you know, for anyone considering doing this for, say, more than 5 years, continue to watch the trade news, continue to see who's writing a new book on this subject or what new technology is out there, because academic people are continuing to understand new ways to apply this type of technology. I have a slide here on related content. There is some Create Power Pivot workbook and some other ones in analysis services. There's some track resources that you can see. MyTechEd. TechNet's a great place to find more information. There's some information on Channel 9 on Microsoft about data mining and some more demos online. And I definitely want you to win this Connect box. I will say I did volunteer. I volunteered for a Microsoft event this year, and I was drawn out of the many volunteers for that specific event. I won a Connect box myself. So these Connect prizes are great. I definitely want to hear your evaluations or any comments you have. Make sure you fill out an evaluation, what you like about this topic, and I definitely would love to hear from you. Thank you for attending today.